Right now, we're joined on the line by Quincy Molope. It's the founder of Hello Coach. Okay, and we're speaking about the Grade 12s. Now, this year is certainly a year that is faced with so much of uncertainty. But, you know, life does go on, and the Grade 12s have a choice to make now, sooner rather than later, as they end one stage of their lives and now begin or start preparing for that new exciting chapter that will then mold them into the leaders of tomorrow. So we are joined on the line by Quincy Molope. Good morning, and thank you for joining us so much on the program this morning.
Good morning, Ibrahim, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat to your audience and your Grade 12 today.
It's good to have you with us. Now, the Grade 12s are faced on, you know, where to from here. What is this meant by, you know, what is meant by this phrase? And we speak about career planning. Why is this so important at this stage of their life?
Okay, so career planning is actually a process of self-awareness, and I think many people don't actually understand that that's actually the purpose of a career plan. So it's about identifying what you're good at, what comes naturally, what might require a little bit more work, and then really identifying how you can use that natural talent to build a career. So it's about putting that plan down on paper, revising it, and then, you know, as you grow, because you're not a static human being, you're going to evolve, right? You're not the same person you were 3 years ago or even last year. So you need to constantly be revising that plan and saying, okay, so for where I am now in my life, does this plan still make sense? Am I still the person I was 3 years ago? And should I be continuing on this route? The other most important thing about a career plan, though, is that it will help you to reduce time wasted. So I'll speak for myself. We see a lot of young people at university, their first year, their second year, you know, all of a sudden realizing that, uh-oh, I made a mistake. This actually isn't the course for me. This actually isn't something I want to do. And we're trying to close that gap and reduce the number of students who are experiencing that or going through that, because it's also a very expensive mistake to make, right? I mean, tuition is not a small thing. So I think that for me is why the career plan is really important. And I think I love this show, because I think we need to start having these honest conversations about our grade 12s and the plans that they have to make.
Okay. All right, Quincy, you know, some teenagers are still at this point that I have no idea with regards to what I want to be at this stage. How does one work this out if they're planning on studying next year?
Okay, so at Hello Coach K, we follow a career plan process that has 5 steps in it. The first one is self-assessment, and this is all about what is my purpose. The next step is career research, and that's about now how do I... how do I want to fulfill that purpose? So you're going to do your research to understand all the different avenues. I know some high schools actually do aptitude testing as well, so that comes into that phase. Then there's skills development, which is what do I need to fulfill that purpose? That's all about turning your talent into a skill. And we know turning that into a skill actually requires either education or it takes a lot of hours of practice and work into that. The next one is decision making, which is taking action towards that purpose. And then lastly, career management, which is now evaluating that journey. So I don't know if you guys would allow me, you know, we had a 17-year-old student who came to us, and she received her aptitude results from school, and she said to me, Coach K, I don't understand these aptitude tests. I don't know how to interpret them, but I don't think they're for me. So I said, okay, let's sit down. Let's place a self-assessment. So what have you noticed about yourself? What do you enjoy doing? And she says, I enjoy helping people. That's what I enjoy. I said, okay, so how are you doing that? And she says, listen, there's a granny in my township, and I always check in on her, make sure that her groceries are done. I volunteer at orphanages. I do all of these things. And I said, okay, that's a very broad understanding of helping people. Let's try and narrow it down. So we went through this process. And at the end, I said, okay, now show me your aptitude test. And I don't know if you guys, I mean, you guys, you know, have years on you, so you'll understand this. But her aptitude test said she should either be a social worker, a teacher, a psychologist, or a therapist. All of those things are about helping people. But at 17, she couldn't interpret how the way she wants to help people translates to any one of those careers. So then we went through an entire process of helping her understand that this means that. A therapist actually helps people in this way. But also, just because you studied psychology doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be stuck in a room, in a hospital room, your entire career listening to people's problems, right? It's about understanding that each qualification has a broader sort of avenue to go nowadays as well. You don't have to be stuck in the general or generic or lateral idea of what that course was. So once she understood that and once we helped her interpret those results, she felt so much better about herself and just understanding, okay, so I didn't lie to myself. I actually did do this aptitude test honestly, and it is a reflection of who I am. So, yeah, it's just about understanding all of those elements together.
Yeah, I think that's so important that when a person does make that decision to understand that what is it that they really want to do or want to achieve in life. But just on that point, Quincy, you know, as humans, you know, or we keep on changing, or rather the environment or circumstances around us keep on changing, and we need to adapt when there's a need. Why would you say, you know, that is it really important to understand that, you know, what we study today, what happens if it's not something that we're very passionate about later on in life? Would we be able to change at that point in our life as well?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you guys think of careers that or jobs that pay a lot of money, what comes into mind immediately? I think doctor, lawyer, accountant. And I think we've been programmed to think, you know, we need to fall into any one of these industries or professions to not only make money, but to have high standing in our community, to have respect, that kind of thing. And I think now what we're seeing a lot more, especially with the millennials, is that they are moving more towards making decisions, not just on money, but based on purpose. And I'm really enjoying seeing that change. Deloitte did a recent study as well, and they found that over 43% of millennials are now wanting to occupy positions based on their talents, based on how they want to positively impact the world. So my point is this, actually, for your Grade 12 listeners, is that you have time. You're 18 years old. You're about to make a decision that's going to impact you at least for the next 3 to 4 years that it takes you to get your qualification. But that doesn't mean it's a permanent decision. So like we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, is that it's an evolving decision, right? You're still going to keep on checking and checking in and seeing if you're still where you want to be. I'll use myself as an example. When I started my university career, I was actually pursuing medicine. And don't ask me how that made any kind of sense to me. I think it was also because that's what my parents wanted for me. I was good at biology in school. That was my A. And my parents thought, finally, we're going to have a doctor in the family. And I pursued that because I saw how proud they were that could happen. And in my first year, I was completely depressed. It wasn't for me. It didn't fit me at all. And then the realization that I'm going to have to be dealing with blood for the rest of my life, it just wasn't working. And I switched my course in my second year to BCom Financial Management Sciences, and I've been happier ever since. I'm now doing what I love to do. I'm now having the conversations I want to have, and I'm impacting lives the way I want to do it. But also, most importantly, is I still have that financial freedom, right? I have financial freedom that my parents were worried about. I'm still, and I have spiritual connection. So I'm spiritually connected to myself and to my purpose, and I'm true to that. And as well, mentally and physically and emotionally, I'm also well. So I'm a whole rounded person because of just that change in decision to say, actually, I'm going to pursue what feels right for me.
Okay, I think that's a very important point, Quincy, with regards to, you know, I think before choosing your career path, it's important to know with regards to what you love, what are your values, what are your interests, you know, your skills as well as your personality traits. Now, what's actually happening is that, you know, many times parents are forcing the kids into studying something that they're not interested in, something they don't want to be. Some special advice for the parents on this matter?
You know what, we need to start sitting down with our children and having conversations. I wish my parents were willing to kind of have that conversation with me to say, look, we would love it. If you're a doctor, that would be really great for us, but is that what you want? And I don't think there's any shame. So I'm a new mom. I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old. So certainly, I mean, I will be dealing with them teenagers years from now. But I think about my relationship with my parents, and I think, it's about having conversations and having that open door kind of policy to say, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to be angry at you if what you want for your life isn't necessarily what I want. But it has to be productive, right? So I encourage your grade 12s as well to say, before you go in and have that conversation with your parents, have your plan. So have your plan and say, Mom, Dad, this is what I've thought about. This is the path that I want to take. Can you help me even to do the research? Maybe get me into job shadowing so that I can understand the course I'm going to go into now. But have that conversation in a practical, productive way.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And to have that conversation, I think sometimes it can be a bit difficult, but to be open about it and sit down and speak to the teenager or those that are in matric or even before that and speak to them, what is it that interests you? What is it that you would like to pursue further on in life? One question that has also been asked quite a bit, what about those wanting to take a gap year? How can they make this gap year productive?
Oh, I love the concept of a gap year, but I think the key word there you're spot on is productive. So a gap year isn't about sitting at home and doing nothing and kind of just jollering on the street or partying the whole year. It has to be productive, which means there has to be a purpose to it. There has to be a vision to it. So I took a gap year as well personally after my matric year. So I was badly bullied in matric, like ridiculously bullied. It was awful. One of the incidences almost left me in hospital, so I couldn't. For me, when I thought of going to university the next year and to see my bullies in the same campus as me day in, day out, away from my safety, away from home, away from my safe room, away from my safe family, I couldn't. I just couldn't deal with that. And my parents were very understanding. So we shipped off. I went to the USA. I did my gap year at a well-known theme park for a year. And that was my goal, to say I'm going to be productive this year. But my goal was also to raise money for my tuition. So, and if you look at it, and it's always great to do an international gap year too, because if you're earning in dollars, if you're earning in euros, you're going to be able to collect that tuition money much quicker. I mean, if we think of what's $3,000 now, you're looking at maybe, 50K by the time you get back.
And good money.
Enough, yeah, that's enough for your degree by the time you get back. So my advice is that if you're going to take a gap year, understand first of all, why do you need to take a gap year? Because you also need to be self-assessing during that year, right? To say, am I now okay? Because I had to do that for myself. To say, okay, do I feel better? Is my anxiety going away? Am I dealing with my depression? Excuse me. And what it did for me as well was expose me. So I had exposure now to the rest of the world, and my little small town, my school, my bullies didn't seem so bad anymore, right? Now it was like, oh, okay. So there's more to life, and there's more to the world than this group of people who just really turned my year into turmoil. But yes, for me, what's important is one, let it be productive. Have a goal, have a clear vision. So decide for yourself what you want your gap year for. And then on top of that, if they do decide to take a gap year, please, I really urge them to find a reputable company or agency that does that. Human trafficking is real, so they need to be very careful. And there are plenty of them. And the nice thing about a gap year as well is that there's so many options. You can au pair. You can work at a theme park. You can work at a resort. You can even work at these like summer camps where you're like a teenage coach or assistant and that kind of thing. So there's many different variations of what you can do during your gap year that will actually also be quite fulfilling. Just do it safely.
Okay. Just a question, Quincy, with regards to job shadowing. Is job shadowing important and why?
Oh, absolutely. So what I really like about job shadowing is that it will close that gap between between the romanticized version of what that job will be or what that career holds compared to the realities of it, right? Can you imagine if, talking about now my instance, I wanted to be a doctor, but I hated blood. Had I job shadowed, immediately I would have noticed just how much blood is actually involved in the job, and I doubt I would have actually ventured into pursuing medicine in the first place. And we're actually busy developing a few programs now that are aimed at just doing that, and a big part of it is job shadowing. So we're going to start talking to grade nines, starting that conversation as early as grade 9, where they're going to need to now make the decision on what subjects they take in grade 10, and then all the way through to the grade 12s, just to make sure as well that we're helping them align, like we mentioned, their skills and their talents and their aptitudes towards careers that actually fit them well. So, yeah, if they can, I mean, if you know anybody, we're also here to kind of help with that. If you need direction on where you can go for job shadowing, they're more than welcome just to contact us, and we'll see who we can put them in contact with or how we can get that done for them in an industry that they are interested in.
Lovely. Quincy Malopi, thanks for the information. All of the best, ma'am. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much for your time. You guys have a lovely weekend, and I wish all the grade 12 a fantastic journey ahead. It's going to be interesting.
Thanks so much, ma'am.
Thanks so much for joining us.